Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. Today, the IMF reviews sub-Saharan Africa's economy, and the new head of the African department says it's a story of struggling oil exporters and strong performers.
So the picture is really one of multi-speed Africa, as we're calling it, you know, multi-speed growth.
Barely a month after his appointment as director of the IMF's African department, Ababa Amro Selassie and his team have published a new regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa. Mr. Selassie has worked with policymakers from across the region for much of his career, and he steps into this new role at a time when policy action is what the new report is prescribing as a way out of the region's growth slump.
So, congratulations in your new role as the head of the African department. You step in at a very important time. Do you feel intimidated by the scope of the problems that many of these African economies are facing at the moment?
Not intimidated at all. You know, it is the case that I am taking up my job at a time when economic growth in the region has declined to its lowest level in some 20 odd years. I have to, however, say that, you know, I see the region as one of immense promise. And looking ahead, I think, you know, subject to countries pursuing the right policies, I do see a bright future for countries in the region. Now, at the moment, as you rightly pointed, the region is going through a very difficult patch. And even there, I think we have to qualify and say it's really some countries in the region that are seeing a rapid slowdown in growth or have slipped into recession. And that's, you know, 20 out of the 45 odd countries in sub-Saharan Africa continue to register fairly robust growth. But what is needed right now is for countries those countries which have been hit badly by the decline in oil prices in particular, but the decline in other commodity prices, for those countries to move to quickly adopting a coherent and comprehensive set of policies that are needed to unlock this potential.
Mm. So this most recent regional economic outlook shows just that. I mean, it's essentially a very mixed bag with a handful of the big oil exporters sort of dragging down the overall growth average for the region. What countries do you think that the fund should be focused on for the next year or so?
You know, I think we focus with all of the members of the region. You know, our teams work with each country. But in terms of kind of the regional weight, the three largest countries in the region are Angola, Nigeria, and South Africa. Angola and Nigeria, of course, are oil exporters, and the low oil prices have reduced export earnings and also affected government revenues. And because oil provides so much resource, this has spilled over into the private sector activity. And, you know, those economies are the ones that are facing very acute macroeconomic imbalances because policy steps haven't been taken to begin to cope with the challenges. South Africa is a bit of a special case. There, it's not an oil exporter, but it exports a significant amount of other non-oil commodities, metals and the like. And the low price environment for these commodities too has affected it, as has policy uncertainty, which is weighing down on growth. It's not expected to be in recession this year, but output growth is expected to be around zero. So these three large economies, because of their large weight in the regional aggregate and because they're going through such difficult growth period at the moment, is what's weighing on the regional average growth. But as I said earlier, you know, there are many other countries that continue to do well, the likes of Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, Tanzania, Ethiopia continues to grow at 6% or more, and there are many other countries that are growing at, you know, the 3, 4, 5% range, which is broadly what the region has been experiencing in recent years. So the picture is really one of multi-speed Africa, as we're calling it, you know, multi-speed growth.
So what would be the one single most important thing that any African economy should be doing right now?
Well, I think the policy requirements in the macroeconomic domain, but even the more micro structural policies really have to be very, very country specific. Huh? I mean, so our teams work with individual countries to tailor the specific requirements. But, you know, at the risk of overgeneralizing, the need in the oil exporters, which have been hit the most by the decline in commodity prices, broadly the need there is for a coherent and consistent macroeconomic policy package. So it will need to involve looking at the fiscal accounts, which are in a difficult space in most of these countries. It will require monetary policy, where monetary policy, there is scope to conduct independent monetary policy. That has to be calibrated towards containing inflation and a lot of structural reforms to foster growth, to foster supply response that will allow growth to recover. And here I want to emphasize that, you know, because in most of these oil exporting countries, the fiscal account is in acute difficulty because oil proceeds have declined. There is a need for governments to find a way on replacing that lost source of revenue. So that really is a big area where reform is likely to be needed. Turning to the countries that continue to grow rapidly, what we are seeing is fiscal deficits are elevated, getting elevated despite high growth. So in these countries, there's a need to strike a better balance between development spending and the, you know, debt levels, which are beginning to increase. So we very much recognize the need that countries have to address infrastructure gaps, human development needs, of course. But I think in these countries too, I think greater effort to mobilize revenue would help reduce deficits and also contain debt levels, which from a low level are beginning to edge up.
So there's a lot of talk about the potential for new technology to change the nature of jobs pretty much all over the world. What role do you think technology has in Africa's development in the coming years?
That's an interesting question. I think technology holds great promise for Africa in many ways. I think, you know, we saw this fairly concretely in the case of the mobile telecom revolution in the region. That basically gave Africa a chance to bypass, in most countries, or at least in most rural areas, to bypass fixed line telephony and to jump from, in most cases, zero service to cutting edge or mobile telecom systems. So I think that has shown the way, including, it has to be said, in this possibility for what we used to consider utility services to be run on a profitable basis. Okay, so the demand is there, and provided the good ways of payment systems are found, good ways of tapping this demand, the monetizing this demand are found, people are willing to pay for good services in Africa. I think telecom has provided a way forward. So what is the next stage? I would say in this fintech space, I think big parts of the region remain underbanked. We've seen with the M-Pesa revolution in Kenya how technology has enabled money transfer to be much cheaper, to be much more secure. And the contribution that M-Pesa has made to enhancing productivity in this space and in the financial space is just tremendous. I think this technology or modern versions of that have a long way to go in much the rest of the region, I think. Maybe even enhancing transparency, making sure that money gets, for example, from governments to school accounts directly, bypassing, several bureaucratic layers, perhaps. So I think there is significant scope for technology to help enhance, to help improve, transparency and governance at many levels. Also,
Do you worry as growth continues to stagnate or fall further, that this opens a door for the potential, at least, of more civil unrest and just general instability?
The incidence of conflict in the region clearly has been on a declining trend. We forget now, but the 80s, 90s were a really difficult time for many, many more countries and many more, much larger share of the region's population than is the case now. Unfortunately, we still continue to have quite a few cases of civil conflict in the region. South Sudan is a good example. The difficulties in Burundi are another. Of course, the toll that the Boko Haram is exacting on so many countries like Chad, Nigeria itself, of course, Cameroon, are all, very unfortunate things. But overall, I want to stress kind of the incidence of conflict, the number of people dying from conflict in the region has been on a declining trend. But of course, difficult economic environment always will create a lot of tension. And, as the size of the pie is shrinking, there's going to be more tension on who gets pie. So that's why the first order really is to avoid the pie from shrinking and to sustain growth. That's first and foremost. Second is kind of, of course, difficult decisions have to be made to reallocate spending, to impose taxes on that were not there in the past. So the key is really, in our view, a lot of the work we do is to mitigate the impact of these measures on poor and vulnerable groups. So there are several ways this can be done. One is, of course, direct cash transfers to people that are going to be impacted by reforms, the most vulnerable parts and segments of the society. Second is kind of to make tax systems as progressive as possible, to exempt, the poorest groups from taxes that have to be introduced. So there are ways in which to mitigate and ensure kind of the burden of adjustment doesn't fall on poor and vulnerable groups. I think a good example here is fuel subsidies, which prevail in some countries in the region. These are often extremely costly for budgets and extremely regressive also. So there are ways in which adjustment can be made less harmful to the poor, while at the same time saving the government a lot of resources, which can be redirected towards infrastructure investment in schools, clinics, and much needed other services.
That was Ababa Amro-Selassie, director of the IMF's African Department, talking about the latest regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa. You can read the full report at imf.org. And you can hear more podcasts like this one on SoundCloud or iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts.